So what are some of the kind of the surprising facts, maybe one or two that has stood out over your 3 years, or who are some of those, who are some of those unsung heroes or even sung heroes that you had more appreciation for? Like, is Spurgeon really that good?
Yes.
Is he really the prince of preachers? Does he earn that title?
I will defend him. I don't want to say I have more experience with old sermons than most people. I would think I'd probably do, though. And I will say Spurgeon is top of the game. They're really, you know, it is not an overhyped title. Now, that doesn't mean Spurgeon is the only one. For example, a contemporary of his, D.L. Moody, is also extremely good. He doesn't get nearly the same hype, but he is very quotable. He tells amazing anecdotes. I think there are a lot of people who are very similar, close to as good as Spurgeon. But Spurgeon is the tippity top for a reason, and I have a hard time thinking of people of all of the most impactful sermons in my own personal life, two of them are probably from Spurgeon. Compel Them to Come In, and another one he had on charity just really got me really good. So I can certainly say that, yeah, I think he's up there in the league. One person I would say that your audience, everyone's probably heard of, Jonathan Edwards. This one's a surprise. So this is taking a famous person we know. It surprises me a little bit. People always go, okay, like this was a very common phrase. Maybe you've heard it if you've ever looked into Jonathan Edwards. You know, he's so much more than sinners in the hands of an angry God. And I would like to tell everyone, no, all of his sermons are some version of sinners in the hands of an angry God. And that's exactly why Jonathan Edwards is so powerful. Mm. And that's exactly why in my research, I find that he not only helped lead the first great awakening, but Azahel Nettleton, who became saved through Jonathan Edwards' writings and then went to go preach, his sermons are very similar to Jonathan Edwards. And he helped spark, and he literally sparked the second Great Awakening. Two Great Awakenings both come through Jonathan Edwards. Why? Because Jonathan Edwards preached hell and heaven as if he believed in those places, and as if he believed that the people in front of him would go to one of those two places. And that was such a powerful thing. It's still such a powerful thing that it awakens the spirit of those who listen to him. Mm. But despite all of that and what he's known for, in his day, he was known for David Brainerd's Journal. And I think that gets missed a lot, is that we think of him as a theologian or think of him as a preacher. He was both of those things. But his number one selling book was The Diary of David Brainerd. And in his day, if you were living in 1794, you know, 25 years or so removed from Jonathan Edwards, it would have been The Diary of David Brainerd would have been most likely the book of his that you owned. And it was that movement that inspired, that book that pretty much single-handedly inspired the missionary century of the 1800s that I think is Jonathan Edwards' greatest legacy. Mm. And so that was a surprising thing going in. I had heard of Jonathan Edwards, the preacher. Everyone kind of has heard of sermons, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I had not realized Jonathan Edwards' the heart for missions and how that bled into so much of our church history.
Interesting.
But as for unsung heroes, my goodness, there are so, so many. It's like, where do you even begin? Almost every day, I feel like I find someone else that I'm like, Savonarola is probably one of my favorites because you kind of maybe have heard of him. He was in Italy, in Florence. He went up against the Medici family for a couple years. He actually ran the city. He got rid of the rampant wanton sin, and he got the people to live a morally righteous life until the Medici family pulled strings, got the Catholic Church to come down and basically get him executed. And when they did, the people threw one of the most licentious parties of all time. John Calvin and Martin Luther both said Savonarola was part of the inspiration for their movements. And they were sad that Savonarola had not succeeded in Florence because what he was trying to do was so good. In fact, John Calvin said that Geneva was directly trying to finish, you know, like was trying to take Savonarola and finish what he had done. That he wasn't able to do in Florence, he was going to kind of do in Geneva. And so these guys really respected this dude who, in history, if you have heard of him, he's kind of a joke. Like he's like a creepy, crazy religious tyrant. But the people of his time actually looked up to the work he did and kind of wished Florence had succeeded instead of killing him instead.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow.